Before we open God's word, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we approach thy throne this morning hour with exceeding joy, Lord, knowing that we have thy living word before us, a word that gives life, a word that endures forever, and we are a body of believers, Lord, who trust in thee and who love thee and who desire to walk in thy precepts, walk according to thy will. And so, Father, we have now an opportunity to be encouraged in our faith, to be drawn and focused upon thee and upon thy living word, and to be reminded anew, Lord, of the great things which thou hast done for those who love thee with a pure heart. And so, Father, we would just pray that thy word would go forth in power and in truth according to thy Spirit's measure, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to the book of Ephesians and read chapter number 3. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 3.
Ljubezni čitaće se iz Svete reči Gospodnje iz Efesima, poslanica, treća glava.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. After reading a beautiful chapter as this and seeing what the work of the Lord is and knowing all the things that we've come to learn throughout our lives and as we went through Sunday school, as we were raised in a home that feared God and spoke of what God has done for each and every one of us, that we come to recognize just how good God has been to us and to remember his faithfulness over and over. The psalmist in 126, Psalm 126 said, "The Lord hath done great things for us." There was that acknowledgement that the Lord had done great things for the children of Israel. They'd come to that point where they recognized it was God's doing. God was working in their midst. God was doing great things for them. And so the psalmist wrote then, "The Lord hath done great things for us." And as we read a chapter such as this of what God has done for us as a Gentile people, that we can likewise say the same as the psalmist, "The Lord hath done great things for us." Because of his doing, because of who he is, and not so much of the things that we are able to do. And so we see that played out here in the scriptures, and we see that played out in our lives. And it's very important to us, and we acknowledge that over and over. The Lord hath done great things for us. The children of Israel were always a special people to God. God had written in the Old Testament over and over, and especially in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, he would give them a law, and he would remind them to keep that law, and he says, "For I am the Lord your God." He would say that over and over, "I am the Lord your God." Many times over and over, we can see that truth played out in Leviticus and in other chapters there in the Old Testament, that "I am the Lord your God." He's speaking that to them. He didn't speak that to the other nations. He spoke that to Israel through their prophets, to their kings. "I am the Lord your God." Then the other kings, Pharaoh and the other kings that were around about Israel at the time, they knew that there was a difference between them and the children of Israel. They knew that there was a separation. They knew that Israel had a God that was powerful and was working many, many miracles. And they saw that played out over and over. Pharaoh saw it. The kings of Babylon saw it. The king of Syria saw it. These other nations, they all saw it. And they knew it. And they had fear when the children of Israel were coming into the promised land. The other nations, they had fear of these children of Israel coming, for they knew that God had done great things through them and to them. And so there was always this separation. There were the Gentile nations, and then there was the children of Israel. And it was so also that Jesus, when he was here upon this earth, went further away from the regions of Judea and Galilee, and he went up to a region in Tyre and Sidon, which was well deep into the Gentile nation. And there was a Gentile Syrophoenician woman there that wanted some help for her daughter, healing for her daughter. And Jesus responded to her and said, "It is not meet to take the children's food and cast it to dogs." And the Syrophoenician woman responds and says, "Yeah, I'm just looking for some crumbs that would fall off the table." And based on her response, Jesus began to show the love of Christ, the love of God, now to all nations. And he showed to her that his love was for her as well. And he said, "Great is your faith. Be it even unto you as you've asked." And her daughter was healed. And so we see now that there's this mystery. There was this mystery of the Jewish people, the children of Israel, and the rest of the nations, that there was always this separation between them. And so the Apostle Paul here is writing and showing that now that mystery is being revealed, that God is revealing himself to all people, not just to the Jewish people anymore, not just to the children of Israel, but that his love is now going out to the Gentiles as well. And this mystery was hid in times past, but now is being revealed to all peoples. In verse number 5, it says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." This mystery was hid, but now it's being revealed. And so he's saying, "Whereof I was made a minister, the Apostle Paul, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And so it was that Christ was calling the Apostle Paul to go preach and go bring forth this message of salvation to all peoples. And it wasn't through his power. The Apostle Paul is making that very clear here in verse number 7. This gift of grace of God was given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It wasn't the Apostle Paul's power, it was the power of God that he was able to go forth. And he writes that to the Corinthians, and he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He's saying, we're not sufficient of ourselves. We're not able to do any great thing. We're not able to make any miracles. We're not able to proclaim the gospel and the salvation by our own sufficiency, by our own power. But he's saying, but our sufficiency is of God. And further in that epistle there to 2 Corinthians, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So yes, he was commissioned to preach the gospel, but he's saying that power and that sufficiency is not of himself. And it can never be of man. It will lose its value completely, but that the excellency of the power may be of God. And that's the way it needs to be and continuously needs to be. That the excellency of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of salvation would be that of God. That power would be of God. And so in these first seven verses of Ephesians chapter 3, he's speaking of that he is called to bring this message, and this message was the mystery of God, and it was hid, but it's now being revealed. And then he says, unto me, in verse number 8, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He was commissioned to do that. Jesus told Ananias, after his ascension, he told Ananias, who was in Damascus, as Saul was going there to persecute the church there in Damascus, that Jesus is saying to Ananias, is saying, go thy way, for he, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul at this time, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Here it was that the Apostle Paul, he was this chosen vessel for Jesus Christ. And there was a certain mission that Jesus Christ had for the Apostle Paul, and that was to bear the name of Christ before the Gentiles, before kings, and before the children of Israel. And so it was, as the Apostle Paul would go throughout Asia Minor, throughout the regions wherever he traveled on his missionary journeys, that he would go into the synagogues, and he would talk to the children of Israel, and the Jews that were there in the synagogue, and other Gentiles came too, and they heard the message, and the common people heard him gladly of the salvation that has come through Jesus Christ, through faith in his name. And so it was that he was then preaching and teaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ. A beautiful phrase of what God has done for us. And then we can say that the Lord hath done great things for us. He's given unto us the unsearchable riches of Christ. In the previous chapter, we read that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of his grace. It came by Christ Jesus. This is a gift that we have that's beautiful and cannot be compared to anything else. We have the gift of God. God gave it to us. The excellency of his power is made manifest. We have been recipients of his blessings. We have been recipients of his rich grace that has all been given unto us. Truly, the Lord hath done great things for us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This riches of his grace is given unto us. And it produces these two things, that we have redemption, freedom. We have been liberated, redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. These are the great things which God hath done for us. to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse number 9, he's saying this was hid. This was not known. The nations of the world did not know of the riches of Christ. But now it's being revealed. And he says here in the beginning of verse number 9, it was his purpose. He was a chosen vessel of Jesus Christ to make all men see what is the fellowship of this ministry, of this mystery. All men are to see what Christ has done. All men are to understand who Jesus Christ is and how through faith in him they can have salvation. Gentiles, kings, children of Israel, whoever they would be, that all men would now no longer be in darkness, no longer having this being hid, which was hid in God, but now it's being revealed unto everyone. To be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This was what God was doing. He was working in their midst, and now even in our midst as well, to make us to know what his great gift is to all mankind. In Colossians it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations. This was not known. Back in Pharaoh's time, back in Nebuchadnezzar's time, back in the kings of Syria's time, they didn't know. They didn't know of this truth and this ability for them to have salvation. This had been a mystery, and it was hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now we know of this. Now we know what God has been done. And this is the mystery. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And this is it. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. This is the mystery. It was hid from all ages. It was hid from all generations. And now it's being revealed. And now we see through the scriptures of that which God has done. And it's being revealed. This is now no longer a mystery. It has been revealed. This mystery of Christ in us, the ability to have his riches and his grace and the manifestation of his power working in us, as it was in the early church. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. We can have this boldness and this confidence and this access to him by faith in him, by believing what Jesus Christ has done, by believing that he is the Son of God, by believing that he did change water to wine, by believing that he did raise the dead to life again, Lazarus and others, by believing he was able to calm the waters of the storm, by believing he was able to feed a multitude with such a small amount of food, by believing that he is the Christ, by believing that when he died upon the cross and shed his blood there, that blood was wrought for the forgiveness of our sins. By believing in these things, we have this boldness and confidence and access unto him. That we are no longer now separated Jew and Gentile, but that we are all now the children of God, those that would have faith in him. And so he speaks of this mystery. He speaks of this great things that God hath done for us. And now he turns to a prayer for them. In verse number 14, He speaks and he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now he's bowing. He's bowing to God, and it's through Jesus Christ that we are now one family in heaven and in earth, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, bond or free, male or female. We are all now one whole family in heaven and in earth. And this is the prayer that the Apostle Paul had for those in Ephesus. And this is the prayer that we would be encouraged this morning to pray for one another. That as the Apostle Paul had this prayer for Ephesians, that we likewise would have this prayer one for another. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This was the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. And this is our prayer that we would have one for another, that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Not that our lives would go easy, not that our lives would be fun, and always having a good time. No, but that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That our spirits would be strong, that we would know him, that we would love him, that we would have that relationship with him, that we would be built up, that whatever's happening in our lives, we would know this truth. That the excellency of his power is working in us, that we know the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so he speaks also to the Colossians almost these same words, saying that we would be strengthened with all might, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Not because we've built up our ability to have just great self-discipline, no. Not at all, but that we would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. His glorious power. This is the prayer that we need to have one for another, and that we encourage one another, that we build up each other with these prayers, that we would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. All this, that whatever's we're going through, that we would have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. Through what? Through the routine of life? No. Through the difficulty of life. Through those challenges that we face. Through those temptations that we are going through. Through whatever trials we might be enduring. That we would have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Knowing that the excellency of the powers of God, we have his unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ within us. And that's my desire for you. That's my desire for each and every one. And that's our prayer for each other, that we would come to know this, that we would have this patience and long-suffering with all joyfulness, being strengthened by his power, by his glorious power. I really appreciate the adjectives that are here, of his exceeding power, of his glorious power, unsearchable riches. This is Christ. This is who we know. Truly, the Lord hath done great things for us, and we can rejoice in him and lift up his name and glorify him. So that's number one of the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and our prayer one for another, that we would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Secondly, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. That we would have a real and a genuine faith. A faith that believes that with God all things are possible. He's not limited. He has done great things. Great things. And with him, we know that he is able and he can do all things. And so we have this faith that believes in him, that come what may, we know that God is able. A faith that would move mountains. A faith that would glorify his name. but that it would be real, that it would be sincere, a faith that simply gives glory to God. That if somebody knows of a situation or a trial that we're going through or anything of that nature, that our faith is just simply in God. It's in God. He's able to take this broken vessel and to use this vessel to His honor and to His glory. That our faith, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we truly believe Christ is within us. This is that mystery that has been revealed. Christ in us. That we would have this faith that Christ is within us and we live as he lived. And so that would be the second prayer that we would have one for another, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, Jew, Gentile, bond or free, what is the love of God? Well, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? And to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of Christ, or fullness of God. That we might know this love of God. This is the next prayer, is that we would all pray for each other, that we would all know the love of Christ. That we would come to understand that and know that and feel that in our lives, that we are so unworthy and yet God loved us so much. Christ loved us so much that He died upon the cross. Christ said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." This is the love that Christ has for us. That as God loved Christ, as God loved Him, Christ loves us just to that same level. No, nothing diminished, no less. Christ loved us to that same level. And so that we might now experience that and know that and feel that love that Christ has for us. This is our prayer that we would have one for another. That we may go through some difficulties, but nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall any of these things separate us from the love of God? From the love of God? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In St. John chapter 10, it speaks that we are in the palm of God's hand. He loves us and He cares for us. This is the mystery of Christ. This is what we are now is now being revealed to us, that we have this love that God has for us, the love of Christ, that's unsearchable. It's working within us. We feel His love. We know that He cares for us. And we're being filled with all the fullness of God. And so we want to share that with each other and build each other up in that. And so this is the prayer that when your faith would be strong, when your love in Christ would be known, and when you're working, when the Spirit is working in you, and you're receiving that strength in the inner man, then when you're strong, then I'm strong. And we build each other up. We encourage each other. And we become stronger in the Lord. This is what He's calling us to. And then we can say with a joyful heart that the Lord hath done great things for us. This is what God is calling us to. Now in these last verses, last two verses, He says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. So when we ask God, that He would fill us with the Spirit, with strength in the inner man, that we would know the faith and have, by faith, have Jesus Christ abiding in us as we pray that for each other. And as we pray for each other, that we would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That we know that God is even able to give that above that which we ask. This is the God that we deal with. This is the mystery that's been revealed, that He is working now in the Gentile people. That that all men would know this truth of the salvation and the power that can be given unto us through Jesus Christ, through our faith in Him, that we would come to know this love of God. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is the God with whom we have to do. So much more than what we can do of ourselves. So we bow before God, even as the Apostle Paul bowed before God for the Ephesian people, that we would bow before God and pray and uphold each other, that we would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we would come to know the love of God. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is how God will be glorified, when we allow His Spirit to work in us, and that we would recognize that it's not just simply about ourselves, but it's about the church. It's about building up what God has done, and to speak of His greatness and to glorify His name here upon this earth. We are to be salt and light in this earth for the purpose of glorifying God. That's our purpose, is to glorify God. And Jesus says, I do always those things that please Him. Should we be any different? It should always be that we always do those things that please Him. We give glory to God when we pray for one another, that we would be strengthened with might in the inner man, that we would know the unsearchable riches of Christ, that we would have Christ dwell within our hearts by faith, and that we would come to experience and know and live out day by day the love of God within our hearts. This glorifies God. The church glorifies God in this way. And so Jude says, to the only wise God and our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Has done great things for us. We who were not a people were made a people by the blood of Christ. We have been shown the unsearchable riches of the love of Christ. We have felt that love. We have known His unsearchable riches that come through that. And then ours is to glorify Him for what He has done for us. Ours is to pray for one another. The Bible says that Satan is accuser of the brethren, but Jesus Christ is the intercessor for his followers. And so we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, ought to intercede one for another, that we would all come to know and to experience the fullness of God through the riches of the love of Christ. Amen. Amen.